I want to read to you from the scripture. This is the passage for today. It comes from the book of Hebrews. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this is the word of the Lord.
I wish God would speak to me. I wish I could hear God. I wish I knew what God wanted for me. I wish I could hear God's voice about my life, my family, this church. Have you ever said or thought that? How do we know when God is speaking? You know, last week we looked at the opening lines of Hebrews and some of the verses in the second chapter. We looked at how the author of Hebrews answered the question of who is Jesus? And how God speaks to us today. And today we continue that with how God still speaks and how the Word of God is alive and active. The author of Hebrews seems to know the intended readers rather well. It's clear that the readers were Jewish Christians. There's an assumption of a thorough knowledge of the Old Testament in here. The Jewish Christians were suffering. They were under persecution. And hence we repeatedly find this encouragement that Jesus understands suffering. In verse 12, we find these words, "The word of God is alive and active." These are words that are very familiar to us. We know these words. What do they mean? Theologians describe three forms of the word of God, three ways in which God speaks. Through God's Son, the incarnate word, God with flesh on. Through Scripture, the written word. And through preaching, the spoken word. The word of God is God speaking to the people, God's people. The writer fuses all three forms into one another and into God. The context for these verses is found in Judaism at the time, with its descriptive phrases concerning the word, wisdom, and the Torah. And they're often used interchangeably. We lose that when we read it in English. There are words that relate to what we read here. For instance, in the Apocrypha, in a book called The Wisdom of Solomon, wisdom pervades and penetrates all things. These are words that would have been known to the author. The writer reaffirms what we hear in the earlier chapters of Hebrews, that God who spoke still speaks. In the writer's theology, words of Scripture are words of God to us today. That is, at the time that Hebrews was written, and by implication, still for us today, 2,000 years later. And the Word of God refers to God's active proclamation and revelation then and today and tomorrow. Scripture is included in the reference, but it's not exclusive. And hence the word is living and active. Reminds us of words that we find in Isaiah 55. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And it's sharper than any double-edged sword. In Isaiah 49, he made my mouth like a sharpened sword. You know, this is uncomfortable language for us today. We don't necessarily like the imagery of a sword. But it is helpful for our understanding to unpack it a little. This is not a big sword used in battle. It's more like a dagger. And here we see the word of God described as sharper than the sharpest sword. You know, that the sharper the blade, the less we feel when we cut ourselves. Have you ever done that? Have you ever cut yourself and wondered where the blood's coming from because you weren't actually aware that you'd done it because the blade was so sharp? It goes straight through the skin and into the flesh with no trouble. The effect on God's word in someone's life is that it's sharp enough to go straight in, almost without realizing it. The picture here is not that of a carving knife, but a sword. It is capable of not just cutting a finger, but it can actually go through the body. The word of God penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Now, I don't believe we should get too caught up over this soul and spirit, joints and marrow. These terms come from the anthropology of the day, and they're a forceful way of saying that no part of the human life is beyond the knowing gaze of God. The soul was known as the psyche, the heart, mind and conscience, the physical mind of humankind. The joints and marrow are the connection between the bones and the inside of the bones. We can think of it as the inside thoughts of people. It's what we feel and what we know. They remind me of words that we find in Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And we can hear echoes of these words in what we read in Hebrews. The word that creates is also able to discern and judge. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, we don't like the word judge much. It's like judge and judgment have gone a bit out of fashion. There are negative connotations. Here the word comes from the Greek kritos. It's the same word where we get critic. And it means to be able to judge or discern. So the word of God judges or discerns our innermost thoughts, even our attitudes. This means the biases that I don't even know I have. An attitude of unforgiveness. An attitude of wanting revenge. Or just wanting to be right. You know, the word of God discerns our innermost thoughts, our motives, and those things that we really think about. And there's nowhere to hide. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. One day we'll give an account for our lives before God, our outer lives and our inner lives. Hebrews isn't a very relaxing book at times, is it? In these first two verses, the Hebrews preacher speaks of the living and acting word of God, probing, penetrating, and revealing. But the word of God is not being defined. The writer is not saying that Scripture is the Word of God, nor that Scripture contains the Word of God, nor that Scripture becomes the Word of God. The Word of God is characterized by what it does. It is alive and active. It penetrates our lives. All is seen by God. The God who spoke still speaks. But wait, there's more. Verse 14 starts with therefore. Whenever we see a therefore, we need to remember what goes before it. It sums up and reinforces what has gone before it. We then read that Jesus is the great high priest, and we don't understand the concept of priest particularly. But the readers and hearers of Hebrews are Jewish Christians, and they would have understood what this meant. The Jews understood the priest bridged the gap between the people and God. High priest is actually one word in the Greek, close to both God and humanity. Only a high priest could enter the holiest place in Israel's temple, the Holy of Holies, and then only once a year on the Day of Atonement. The Holy of Holies was separated from the rest of the temple by this really thick curtain, the same curtain that was inexplicably torn in two at the time of Jesus' death. Behind this thick curtain was the place where God chose to reveal God's presence to the high priest once a year and only with certain rituals. When the high priest went behind the curtain, the other priests actually tied a rope around the high priest's waist so that if he died in there, he could be pulled out without risking the lives of others. So this is the context of the high priest that the readers knew. Jesus is the culmination of this idea of priesthood, and far superior to any previous priest. He's referred to here as the great high priest. Only Jesus is called this in the Bible. And when it states that Jesus ascended into heaven, literally this says having passed through the heavens, and it alludes to the high priest passing through the curtain. Now Jesus remains fully and gloriously human when he represents us to God. He's not looking down from this great height and being patronizing. He can truly sympathize. He's been there. He's been here. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be tempted and to suffer. And hence we can now enter the Holy of Holies without that rope. We're brought face to face with God. Through Christ, we have access. So though Jesus has ascended into heaven, he remains close to humanity due to the experience he gathered in his earthly life, the trials and the temptations, knowing what it's like to be hungry or hurt. And the word sympathize is to have a fellow feeling with, or it can also mean suffering with. So it could read, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel suffering with our weaknesses. This is good news for us. Jesus is able to share our lot whilst bearing this special relation to God. Our approach to God is met with sympathy and understanding as Jesus has been tempted. And yet he did not sin. This being without sin in this context refers to Jesus' unwavering firmness in his faithfulness to God. Jesus experienced completely the human condition, and hence this gives us confidence as we pray, as we confidently come to God to receive mercy and to find grace. Our prayer lives can fully expect mercy and help. Forgiveness, yes, but also help. We could say he was as we are and therefore he can help, but he was not as we are and therefore he can. As Jesus passed through the heavens, that is, entered God's presence, so access to God has been opened to us. Friends, this is God's open door policy, 24/7. We approach God's throne in prayer. Prayer is a privilege, the fact of it and the manner of it. We have complete freedom of speech with God. We can tell God just like it is, just where we are, just how we feel. So this passage is about God's judgment or discernment and God's mercy, and God's judgment never stands without God's mercy. In these last two verses, there we see a number of things for us to do. We hold firmly to the faith we profess. We approach God's throne of grace. We receive mercy. We find grace. God's grace and mercy help us in our time of need. We can summarize it by hold fast, draw near. Hold fast, draw near. Whatever it is that we experience, we can hold fast and draw near. Hebrews reminds us to fix our eyes on Jesus. God speaks through the Son to let us know who God is. And we can be encouraged, have confidence in troubled times, in times of need. We remember this book was written to the early church of Jewish believers who were really struggling. And so we take encouragement from that. And we remember that the living, active Word of God transforms us. You know, the news can inform us. Novels can inspire us. Poetry and song can enrapture us. But the living, active Word of God can transform us. You know, God still speaks. The words of God are the words of God to us today, and hence the word is living and active, sharper even than any two-edged sword, discerning our thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. And so we hold fast and we draw near. We receive mercy and we find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you that you still speak to us. Thank you that we can approach your throne of grace with confidence, that your grace and mercy help us in our time of need. We are sorry for our thoughts and attitudes that are not of you, for when we separate ourselves from your love and from others. Thank you for your forgiveness through Jesus, taking our place on the cross. Lord Jesus, thank you that you sympathize with our weaknesses, that you have experienced temptations. Help us to hold fast to the faith. Holy Spirit, help us to hold fast and to draw near, to be open to receive God's mercy and to find God's grace. And help us to hear God speaking to our hearts and to our lives. Each day we pray. Amen.